Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
It was quite a weekend in Canton, Ohio for Bears fans, honoring Julius Peppers, Devin Hester, and of course, it was very emotional with the Hall of Fame honor going to Steve McMichael. Steve's sister, Kathy McMichael, joins us now from Texas. Kathy, good morning. You were in town. You were at the house in Homer Glen over the weekend, weren't you?
Good morning. Yes, I actually got there last Monday and then stayed through the weekend and came back to Austin yesterday.
I hear that bagpipes were playing outside. Fans were,
yes, they were.
Fans were everywhere. How aware was your brother of the honor and also what was going on?
Oh, he knew exactly. He could hear all the fans chanting, and then when he heard the bagpipes coming down the street, we had opened the windows and the door so he could hear them. And so, yeah, he loves the bagpipes and those guys, the police, and, you know, he laughed and told me a story, you know, that he went on one of their pub crawls with them years ago, and he said, I know why they call it a pub crawl. Because by the time it's over with, you're crawling to the car. he loves those guys, and they've always been, you know, they're just awesome, and he loves that. And, you know, and he could hear, like I said, the fans were chanting, Mongo, and he loves it.
Yeah.
He loves it.
And I saw Richard Dent was at the house. He had some of his Bears family with him, too, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. The guys, oh, God, there were tons of guys there. They all got there. Probably around, you know, besides Richard, Mike, and Jimbo, of course, they were on the plane from Canton. But all the other guys got there about 8:30 that morning. So he, you know, had time to spend with him before the ESPN and the cameras, and then the guys got there from Canton. So he had a great time laughing and cutting up with the guys. And, you know, they were just so awesome, and, you know, talking to him and just loving on him and telling him how great he is and that he deserves it, and, you know, that kind of stuff.
Kathy, tell us about the speech, how you and Steve and the family came up with it, and it appeared you got very emotional when you were reading that speech. It was totally understandable, but how long a process was that to put down onto paper what you all wanted to say?
Well, actually, we had talked about it a couple of years ago when he was nominated. And we kind of talked, and I told him then, I said, you need to start writing. Because, you know, we knew what was coming with ALS as far as the ability, you know, not to talk. And at that point, he was beginning to start to learn to use the computer, the Dynavox, you know, where he uses his eyes. But we talked about it then. I said, you need to start thinking about what you want to say. And I said, so we can, you know, I can write it down for you. And either we can put it on the computer. And then when he didn't get in at that point, then he was like, he didn't want to do it. So then last August when he was nominated again, and we were hoping and praying that he got in. We talked about it then, and he had talked about it before our mother passed away in 2018, and that was one of the things that they would laugh at. He said, you know, they're not going to vote me in until after you die. That was her thing, you know. But, and he had thanked our father when he was inducted in the College Football Hall of Fame. He always said, Mama, it's your turn this time, that you get to get thanked, that kind of thing. So I knew that process, and I knew that he wanted to thank the guys, and we talked about it. And, you know, even though he's lost the ability to talk, it was not until probably the last 6 months before he could still move his lips, and you could read his lips, and I could read his lips, and the nurses could read his lips. So we talked about it then, and I would jot down things and read it back to him, and he'd say, yeah or no, I don't want to say that. And it was, you know, it was one of those things. We wrote it, and I jotted it down and just kind of worded it for him, and then I read it to him, and then I read it to him again Friday night, and I said, is this what you want to say, this? And he was, yes, I want you to say that for me. So even, and like I said in the speech, you know, of course, if Steve could have talked, it would have been a lot longer, and he would have thanked a lot more people and told more stories, and it would have been more colorful and a lot more fun. You know, just his personality, and of course, like I said, he speaks from the heart. But that was the basis of what he wanted to say, and, you know, thank the people that helped get him there and that kind of thing.
But I like that you put a few babies in the speech,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I know
that was great.
The woo-hoo had to come from him.
And the woo-hoo, yeah. what was your brother like growing up, Kathy?
Oh, he was incredible. I'm the baby. There's four of us. And so it's my sister's 16 months older than Steve is 6 years older than we have a brother. The oldest one is 8 years older than me. So Steve remembers me as a little girl, and I tell this story all the time. He had G.I. Joe, and I was a big Barbie fan. But I wanted that G.I. Joe. I painted the Jeep pink one time, and he let me do it, you know, that kind of thing. But I always laugh and tell this story. I got Malvin Kent from Santa Claus, and we were standing waiting on the school bus one morning. Well, G.I. Joe attacked Malvin Kent, and off the house they flew. When my Ken doll came down, he had no head and one arm, so I had a headless one-armed Ken for the rest of the
time.
He was awesome. You know, I was 5 years old when he started playing Little League Baseball, so there wasn't a time in my life that I ever did not remember watching him play sports. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when he retired from playing professional football, it was a big, like, letdown for the whole, not almost a letdown, but, you know, it was something that we all had to get adjusted to, because, you know, the great times of my life, and I told him this, you know, on Saturday after he got a little bit hot, so we kind of had to separate, and I was whispering in his ear, and I'm telling him, I said, you realize that the best times in my life and the best memories that I have to do with him, because of watching him play and traveling and going to, you know, the Bears games and, you know, those types of things. And I tell him, I said, you've made my life wonderful, you know, because of that.
Kathy, appreciate you sharing your thoughts with us this morning, and I'm glad to hear that your brother Steve is able to feel and receive all the love he's getting from everybody.
And I hung his gold jacket above the window so that the moment he opens his eyes, he looks at the gold jacket. And I teased him before I left. I said, now you remember, everybody that comes to see you from now on has to refer to you as Mr. Hall of Famer. So he smiled a little bit before I left. And I said, and there's that jacket. You get to look at that from now on.
That's the best. We continue to think about him. And thank you very much, Kathy.
Well, thank you so much.
You take care now.
You too.
You know, Dave, I know you ran into him many times over the years. My impression of Steve was always down deep, he was a pussycat. I mean, a real soulful, emotional guy. And Kathy, in the Tribune story that ran the other day, told how that big Dallas blowout during the Super Bowl season.
44-0.
Steve goes to the, you know, 50-yard line well before the game and just has a moment there. It's like, you know, the Mongo meditation. You don't think of him as, you know, being that kind of that kind of guy, that kind of player.
Cerebral.
Yeah, right, exactly. But he was, and he did that kind of work.